God, thank you for being good to us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for speaking to us when we read your word. You've said that it's powerful and active. So God, as we read this morning, I pray that you would speak to each one of us. Spirit, I pray that you would help me to explain well and that you would touch our hearts with the words that Paul wrote. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So 2 weeks ago, we started with a question, which was, I guess we got to go a few more weeks. Why are we doing this? Why do we do this? Not just Sundays, but we were going to go a few more weeks anyway, so your lack of response isn't going to stretch it out just willy-nilly. The question is, why are we doing this? Why do we get together on Sundays? Why do we, some of us, get together during the week? Why do some of us open up our homes and have other people over, sometimes to eat meals, sometimes for a study? Why do we get together on the weekends and give away clothes and food? And why do we exist as a community? Why? And what we saw is that Jesus said that if we're his followers, the reason why he has for us to exist is to help people who are far from God find peace and purpose through him with the Father. That's why we exist. That should be why we exist. That's why Jesus would have us exist. So look at Acts chapter 1. The very, at least according to this account, the very last thing Jesus told his followers as they be right before he was going to ascend into heaven and leave them was the following: "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." That's why we exist. We exist so that people far from God who are in our lives can find purpose and peace through Christ with God. That's why we work together. That's why we exist as a community. That's why we get together. That's why we have projects. That's why we meet together on Sunday morning. That's one of the reasons why we take the Lord's Supper together, to remind us of why we're united and what joins us together, which is the cross of Christ and what we are taking to people who are far from God. And so as we think about that idea of why we exist, I want to look today. Last week were some warnings, and today I want to take a different tact, and I want to look at a huge benefit that we receive when we are focused on this mission together. Something incredible that God works in each one of us individually when we say, okay, not just we exist, I exist. If I'm a Christ follower, I exist so that people far from God can find life in Christ. I'm going to give myself to that mission. The more that we give ourselves to that mission, the more that we receive this huge, this incredible benefit, this incredible thing in our lives. Here's where it starts, at least for me. A lot of times, and this is just, I was thinking this week as I was going over this, thinking back over the last, I don't know, I've been in church my whole life, it feels like. So thinking back over all that, there's been a lot of moments, and they come and go, maybe you felt this, but there's been a lot of moments in church, not necessarily on Sundays, but just as part of church, you know what I'm saying, right? That I felt kind of empty. Like I know, you know, the Christian routine, and I know I'm supposed to go to church on Sunday, and I know I'm supposed to go to a church on Wednesday, maybe Sunday night, whatever the routine it was at the place where I was meeting. I know the routine, I know what I'm not supposed to do, but I feel like there's a lot of stuff I don't do, and I don't really feel like it's been replaced with anything. I feel kind of empty. Sometimes I felt like, you know, I go there every week, and sometimes I go there more than once a week. And I wonder if I stopped going, if anyone really noticed. Maybe they would just, you know, jockey for my position in the church, the pew, you know. Maybe that's the only notice it would get. Would I even get called? Maybe I should try that. Have you ever thought that? I've thought that. Maybe I should try that. Would they even know? Would I get a phone call or not? What a horrible thing to think, right? Anyway, I'm just talking. I don't feel this necessarily right now, but just things I've felt. Sometimes I feel like I'm not really changing. I'm just kind of stuck in the same place, and I've been there for quite a while. And if I'm part of this, and if all this is real, and if everything is real, at least what I hear on Sundays, if this is all real, shouldn't I have something alive in me that is changing me? And shouldn't I feel something? Shouldn't it be visible and evident? And I don't always feel that. I don't know about you. See, the thing is, we want to belong. We want others to somebody to be concerned about us. There are moments in my life that are just burned in my mind when I've had the thought, I could leave right now and they, whoever the they was, inside, they, it's not always church stuff, just, they wouldn't really notice until rent was due next month. That's a horrible feeling, isn't it? We want to belong. We want people to know us and love us and take care of us. That's a human need that I think God has given us. That's why we're so sold out to our sports team or our group at school or our group at work or our group, whatever, our family, someplace. We all want to be part of something that makes us feel like we belong, that we're important to other people, and that together we're going towards something. And the sad thing is that we can be sometimes part of a community of faith and not find those very things together. At least that's been my experience, not all the time, on occasion. You don't feel like you belong. You don't feel like anyone is really looking out for you. You don't feel like you're moving forward together. And in fact, in my relatively few years experience around churches, different churches, so this is not like this church, just churches in general, the biggest complaint that I've heard from people and that I've heard other people direct towards the church or the leadership or whatever, it has to do with this. I don't feel like I belong. I don't feel like I'm in community. I don't feel like anybody really cares about me. I don't feel like I'm being taken care of the way that I should be taken care of. I don't feel like anybody is really concerned with my spiritual progress. And in our text today, you can, in fact, look for it if you would like, Ephesians 4, we find the solution to this desire that we have to be part of something, to belong, to be part of a family, to be part of a community, a group of people that look out for us, and a group of people that help us move forward in a good direction. The solution is that the more that we are focused on the mission with Jesus, the more that we receive those things from His community. It's a really weird dynamic where the more that I am sold out to Jesus' mission, the more I give my life to helping people far from God find life in Christ, the more that I give myself to that, the more that I belong with y'all, the more that I fit in, the more that I am part of this and we're family, the more that I feel like I'm being taken care of, and the more that I feel that I am growing and maturing. It is the weirdest dynamic, and it sounds like I'm making it up. We'll read the text together. I don't think I am. I think that's the dynamic. That's the way it's supposed to function. Here's the big idea, and we'll go to the text. We experience the abundance of the Christian life when we are devoted to Jesus' mission. We experience the abundance of the Christian life when we are devoted to Jesus' mission. We become family. We become a family, a true community that helps each other and takes care of each other and grows each other up the more that we are devoted individually and together to Jesus' mission. So look at Ephesians 4. I want to read the whole thing, and then we'll go back and kind of pick it apart. What we see here is a description of how the church should function, of how the community of faith is supposed to function. And with that is mixed this incredible description of not just how it's supposed to function, but also what we receive, how we receive this abundant belonging, being taken care of, growing up together, life, as we are devoted to Christ's mission together. So let's start in verse 11. I wanted to read the whole thing, but there's just too much to go over in detail. So this afternoon, start in verse 1. It's really good. Basically, it says there's one body, there's one community, and Jesus is the head of that. And just as He came and died and then rose again, He also sent His Spirit to fill us. And then let's just jump forward where it says, and He, in verse 11, He, Jesus, gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers. So those are leadership roles, right? Jesus gave people to start and lead the church. Jesus gave leaders to the church. And then we kind of looked at this last time, but this is, it, in my understanding of the way I think the Bible says that the church is supposed to work, this is just fundamental. This is one of those verses that I just keep going back to. So if you say verse 11, Jesus gave leaders to, what's the word that yours says after that? To Ephesians 4, verse 12. Prepare. Okay, any other words? Equip. Yeah, mine says equip, prepare. Same idea, to equip the saints. Now, depending on what church you were brought up in, saint might have a otherworldly kind of connotation to it. That's not what he's talking about here. He's just using that as a word for Christians, for God's chosen, set apart people. That's what he's saying. Leaders exist to equip the Christians for the work of ministry. So in that sequence, who does the work of ministry? Yeah, the normal Christians like you and I. That's who does the work of ministry. Now, I don't want to dwell on this because we hit it last week, but this flips something huge on its head, the way that at least I've observed that we normally think about how churches are supposed to work. We normally think that who's supposed to do the work of ministry? The leaders or the people? Normally the leaders, right? The leaders do the work of ministry. And he's flipping that. He says, in fact, that, well, that's not the original model. It's no, the leaders exist to equip people to do the work of ministry. So if there's work of ministry to be done, projects that need to be done, people that need to be called, somebody that needs to be guided, studied with, who's supposed to do that? And who would those people be? Yeah, everybody, exactly. Thank you for answering back, because we were going to hang out on that until then. See, wrestle with that. If that's hard for you, if you look at that and go, I don't like that. That's not the model I was raised with. I'm not sure that's the way it's supposed to work. I don't really want, isn't my job to come on Sunday morning. I'm doing a good job of that. Wrestle with this passage, but to me, that's what it's saying. Leaders exist to equip. So I tell my wife in the church that we're starting, and as leaders in the church that we're starting, because we're starting it, so you kind of get leadered when you start a church. So the people that we're leading, I tell my wife, our role, we're not supposed to run around doing all the ministry. Kind of did that at the beginning because I wanted people to be there when I preach on Sunday. So it's like, what do I got to do to get you there on Sunday? I'll take you there. I drove a bus full of people at one point. How ridiculous is that? Anyway, but what I tell my wife now, we regularly remind ourselves, and she reminds me, our role is not to do all the work of ministry. Our role is to activate people and equip them, activate them, show them this job needs to be done. You should do this job, and give them what they need to do the job initially, and then encouragement along the way and guidance along the way. That's what leaders are supposed to do. So that wasn't actually the message this morning. We'll continue. But it's important to get where we're going. To equip the saints, leaders equip everyone to do the work of ministry for the building up of the body of Christ. So then he comes up with, he brings in this idea that the body of Christ, this community, this family, is created out of what? Out of everybody working together on the mission. That's where the body, that's where the family, that's where the community comes from. Family is formed as we work together, each one of us together on the mission. Look down at verse 16. He continues this family community idea. From whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when it is working properly, when every part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. How many times does he say body in that place? I mean, two. But he's talking about, so verse 16, he talks about the body, this family, this community. In verse 12, he talks about the body of Christ. He begins and ends it with, we are a family. We become a family. How do we become a family? When we all work together. See, we want to be family. We want to be community. But what I found is when I come to church and I say, I want to be family. I want to fit in. I want to belong. I want community to happen around me. It doesn't happen. I end up, it's like if you go to school and you say, I want a friend. You're going to be my friend. And then I start sending you texts and I start calling you and I say, can we hang out? Can we hang out? Can we be friends? And normally what happens in that scenario, what does this person do? It starts moving backwards, changes his number. I don't want to just be your friend. But when we both are into Call of Duty, that's a video game, a very bad video game. I'm not into it, but this is an example. When we're both into Call of Duty, and we play Call of Duty all night, and that's all we do, and he's in his house, and I'm in mine, and we become really good friends. Why? Because we're trying to be friends? No, because we're into the same thing together. Friendship comes out of shared interests, shared mission. That's what Paul is talking about here. He's saying, as we're together on this mission of helping people far from God find life in Christ, guess what happens? We all work together, we become close, deep friends. Maybe not all of us with everybody, but maybe me and you guys over there, and you guys over there, deep friendship and family and community develop. We become a body. We don't just become a bunch of random people who show up on Sunday mornings and hope things go well in the church. We become people who are united on a mission together, and community comes out of that. That's why in work, when you feel like, if you've ever been part of a group that's been on a project and just been really united around that project, what happens? You get really close. So close that your husband or wife kind of gets jealous. It's like, well, they know more about you than I do. What's wrong with that? Well, because you're on a mission together. When you're on a mission with people, you become a band of brothers. That's sisters. That's what happens. Look at Matthew. I want to look at an example of this. And I want to really drive this one home, because so often in church, we come to church looking for community, looking for family, and we find neither. But when we come and we look for mission and we look for purpose and we give ourselves to that, we find family. A community happens around us. Look at Matthew 12, verse 46. There's this little story, and it describes what happens when we are together on the mission. Verse 46 says, "When he was speaking to the people, that he is Jesus, behold, his mother and his brothers stood outside, asking to speak to him." So who were his mothers and brothers? Mother and brothers. What would be one word we could... Family, right? They were his actual, real-life family. But he replied to the man who told him, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" And stretching out his hand towards his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." You can imagine the disciples being kind of juvenile. I mean, it's the way I imagine that scene playing out. They're sitting there going, "You're his mom." You know, a little juvenile jesting going on back and forth. But don't miss the point. What is Jesus saying? "Who is my family? My family, my blood family, not the people who actually birthed me and I was raised with. They're you guys. We're together on this mission, and that has made us family, deeper family than I am even with them." Isn't that an incredible thing? The only thing that I can see Jesus is really actually saying is what Paul is saying, that as we work together, we become a body, we become family, we become a community. And my experience has been, the deepest friendships that I have and the deepest friendships that I have had have been with people, are with people that I am on the mission with, that we're working in the kingdom together, people that they're studying with somebody and I'm praying for the person they're studying with, or they're about to go into a study and say, "Hey, would you pray for me? I'm about to study with that guy that I told you when we talked last week." The people that I sit around with and read the Bible together with, and we talk about how we can be Jesus's followers in or leaders together in life together. The people that I'm sitting down and I'm helping them learn how to study the Bible with somebody else with. The people that I've guy that I've baptized here, and then I walked him through teaching his family, and then he baptized them here, and now we get together every week, and we are like brothers. Why? Well, because we're on the same mission together. I pray for the people that he's trying to bring to the Lord. He prays for the people I'm trying to bring to the Lord. He worries about me. I worry about we're family. Where does that come from? Paul says, Jesus said, that comes from being together on a mission. And then as we become family, look at verse 13, back in Ephesians 4. It says that we change together. We become like Jesus. We grow up together. We're part of this together as family, and we change together until we attain to the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of Man, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I look down at verse 15. "Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up into every way into him who is the head, into Christ." We mature together. When I come and I want to get fed, have you ever heard that? "I'm not getting fed at church," or, "Oh, you should come to my church. I'm getting fed. That there's feeding going on." It's like, "Oh, is that fish or something?" When we come trying to be fed, we normally don't find it. Same thing as with community. But when we are working together to help people far from God find life in Christ together as a family, guess what? We grow up together. We mature together. There is nothing that makes me grow personally and us together as much as when we are trying to reach out to people who are far from God. That makes us family, and it also makes us grow up. Why? Because we have to be people who are worthy of being imitated. We have to be people who can help someone get closer to God, which means that we have to be getting closer to God, and we help each other do that. We tolerate things in each other that we shouldn't tolerate, but as soon as I'm thinking about bringing that person who's far from God and he's getting closer and he needs to see examples of godly men, so I'm a guy, so I'm bringing a guy, that's why I'm using the male example. He needs to see examples of godly men around him, and so I'm now sticking my elbow in the ribs of the guy next to me saying, hey, be a godly man. We grow each other up as we help bring people far from God closer to the Father, and we help each other. Excuse me, we help each other as part of that. We help each other. Look at verse 14 and 15 and 16. So that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up into every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. We're supposed to help each other as a community. See, when I come and say, nobody's taking care of me, what is that a sign of? That's a sign of I'm not focused on the mission. But this says, as I become focused on the mission, I become less focused on are people taking care of me. But guess what happens at the same time? The people I'm with together on the mission on, together with on the mission, too many prepositions in that, right? The people that I'm with on the mission, they take care of me. They help me grow up. They speak the truth in love to me. They counsel me and guide me. Why? Because we're family. We're together on a mission. Not because I'm saying, hey, I need help. I need help. Would you help me? I need to be ministered to. No, we're seeking people who are lost, and we're helping them grow up in Christ. And so as we do that, we take care of each other. We speak the truth and love to each other. We protect each other. Verse 14 says, from bad doctrine, from being deceived by Satan. In verse 16, we're joined together and we take care of each other. So I'm sick. Guess what you do? You bring me some food. Why? Because there's a food ministry and someone has said, oh, Philip's sick, so check him off. We got to go take him some food. No, because we're together on this mission and we're helping each other and we've been getting together studying with this other guy and I can't go this week because I'm sick. Oh, well, on my way to the study, let me bring you some food. We become family and family takes care of each other. But what makes us family? The fact that I need to be family and that I need to be taken care of? No, the fact that I, along with you, are working together to help people far from God find life in Christ, that makes us family, and that also brings about us taking care of each other. So in this family, how do we experience the abundant life that he's talking about of being family and of being taken care of and of growing up together? What's the key to it? We experience it. Not as we come saying, I want that, but rather as we come together and say, I'm going to be focused on the mission of helping people far from God find life in Christ. And as we're focused on that mission and we work together, we become family, a family that takes care of each other, a family that grows each other up and matures each other. Look at verse 16, how he ends it. From whom the whole body joined together and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. We become family built up in love as we work together, as we work together on the mission. So, as we've been ending for the last few weeks, I want to again extend the invitation to you to be part of this family with us and to give yourself, not just to being part of the family, but to give yourself to being part of the mission, to say, okay, the reason I exist, the reason I go to that place, the reason I'm part of that community, the reason I exist, the reason we exist, is to help people far from God find peace and purpose in Christ. That's why we exist. And so the invitation is that as you give yourself to that, what we saw today is you become part of a family and you get taken care of and you get built up and God changes you and God gives you this abundant life that really only comes when we're together on this mission. So I would invite you to be part of that. And if you're starting at the beginning, if you say, I've never made my personal decision to be part of that, I've never even decided, I've never repented and been baptized, never made my decision, then that's where it starts for you. That's where being part of Jesus' mission and part of this abundant life of being family together and taking care of each other and helping each other grow, that's where it starts. It starts when you tell one of the people here, hey, I'm ready. I'm ready to repent. I'm ready to be baptized. If you've already made that decision, again, this is a call for us to re-up our commitment, to say, okay, that is why I exist. That's why I'm part of that community. Maybe I don't feel like I belong. Maybe I don't feel like I'm getting taken care of as much as I should. That's a sign that I need to be part of the mission, that I need to give myself more to the mission. Because as I give myself more to the mission, I will belong and I will be taken care of. That's just how it works. I will be family with those people. So God is inviting us through this text today to give ourselves to His mission, to together doing the work of ministry. And I would ask you, how can you give yourself more fully? As you look at your life, is it being a more active part on Sunday mornings? Or maybe is it being a more active part throughout the week with other people? Or maybe is it what we talked about last week? Finding the two people in your life, one person who's far from God and one person who's a Christian but who needs to be guided, and we all need to be guided closer to God. Finding the two people in your life who you are supposed to be investing in. Because let me tell you, as you invest in those two people, you will be part of the family and you will be taken care of because you will be living on mission. That's just how it works. That's the dynamic. So what do you need to do? What do we need to do individually to be more devoted to this mission? Why don't we pray? And then we will, why don't we stand, and then we will. See, downtown, normally this is enough to get people to stand, but why don't we stand, and then we will pray together, and then we'll sing. God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for inviting us to be part of your incredible plan to help people come to know you and be close to you and be your children and be forgiven. And God, thank you for giving us this incredible family and community that we can be part of. And God, I pray that you would help us to see that being part of that comes by being together on this mission. And so, God, I pray that you would individually pull each one of us into a deeper level of devotion to your mission. Show us the people in our lives that we're supposed to be spending time with, investing in, the projects that you've given us, the things that we need to do to be part of this community and your mission together. In Jesus' name we pray.